went here, the rowdies went there, they kicked the ball around. The rowdies went here, the rowdies went there, then they fall on the ground. Oh, the rowdies, the rowdies, the rowdies are kicking the grass.
Here's another reason why WISL is your sports leader. Now, on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Rochester Rhinos broadcaster Andrew Battisti, the editor of FrontRowSoccer.com, former Rochester Lancers reporter and a 2012 inductee into the Lancers Wall of Fame, Michael Lewis, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Faber Homes, Claridge Design Center, Olindo's, Allstate Insurance agent Enzo Scolo, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti. We appreciate you joining us on this Monday evening. We have a lot to talk about tonight. The Rochester Rhinos are home this Friday, facing Orlando City B at 7:05. An unusual Friday night game for the Rhinos, so I encourage everyone to come out for the game. It's Rhinos Cares Night, so a lot of charities will be there, and you get a chance to get some discounted tickets, and your ticket purchase, part of it will go to charity. So look forward to seeing the Rhinos in action on Friday. 7 o'clock tonight, we'll have the man of the match from Saturday's 1-0 win over Ottawa, defender Ryan Felix. And the Rochester Lancers men's team is in a prime position for an NPSL playoff spot. Thanks in part to our guest, will be coming up shortly, goalkeeper Will Benahane, who has 5 clean sheets in his last 6 matches. Dick Howard will have the latest news around the world of soccer, including our discussion tonight. There's some newly proposed rule changes that are pretty radical for the sport, and we're going to talk with Dick and Michael Lewis about them. We'll get into them in just a little while. Michael also have the U.S. Soccer Report, a preview of the New York City Derby on Saturday. But let's bring in Joe Sirianni. And Joe, first of all, I missed the game on Saturday, so I was at a family function. So how was it?
Of all the games that I have attended, perhaps that was the best game that the Rhinos played. And not only that, but the stands were fuller, the people were more enthusiastic, the music was good, the food was extremely good, people were eating, they were drinking, and, kudos to the organizer because they did a good job, and the halftime entertainment was just as good. Stuff that they are trying in order to make the venue more attractive to people to come to. And the game, of course, was superb.
And the Rhinos won 1-0 over Ottawa. They had 3 former Rhinos on the team, and I'm sure that the Ryan Felix in the defense was keeping tabs on Steven Dos Santos very closely in the match.
Steven Dos Santos, they completely mucked it off the field. So it was great. And, the defender was very good. You know, our defense was very good. Obama, what's his name, I can't think of his name right now. Dos Santos, of course. The other guy was
Obasi. Not Obama. No, he used to play for Ottawa. I don't know if he's even a Canadian citizen.
No, Obasi was very good. I mean, he went from midfield to defense. You know, they switched. Bob Lilly switched after we were winning at halftime. He switched switched to 5-4-1. Yeah, 5-4-1. You know, and we came close to, you know, they came close to tie the game. They were very good. They hit the post a couple of times. The goalie committed a couple blunders, but at the end of the day, we were victorious. So that's, and the people, Andrew, the people were in. Okay, they were chanting. They were on the other side. They were chanting on the end side. There were people all over the stadium, you know, and behind the goal, on the side, on the upper deck, on the north on the north side of the. It was great.
That's great.
A good atmosphere.
And the Rhinos are unbeaten in their last 13 matches at home, and they look to extend that on Friday against Orlando City B, who they played to a 1-1 tie. Former MCC standout Haji Berry will be with Orlando. He's done very well against the Rhinos, scored a couple times against them in his time with Orlando City B. We'll see if they bring Josh Saunders, the MLS keeper, who was the man of the match. He kept them, Orlando City B, level 1-1 with the Rhinos because he made some incredible saves in that match a couple weeks ago. So we'll see how that goes. I want to mention the Lady Lancers. They had a tough one against the Western New York Flash. They lost 4-1, but they'll play them again this Saturday at 1 o'clock at Aquinas High School. So be sure to come out and see the ladies at 1 p.m. Saturday. And I believe actually this is their last home match of the season. So you want to get out. This is your last chance to see them. And we will hopefully see a victory, because the Lady Lancers are still without a victory, Joe. But I know they're playing very hard, and they're coming close. You know, there's just a couple of player difference, really. Usually one player from the other team is like the big gun for them, and they can't stop that person.
Well, you know, I think that in every team there's a person that persevere and gets up for the game, and it's you know, there was the case. Just to make a comparison. There was the case in the game with the Rhinos, you know, that Will Fall. He played a terrific. Michael Garzi, a lot of compliment to him, although he went unnoticed because. But Ryan Felix, you know, a defender and.
It's our guest tonight.
Yeah, he was very good. He scored a beautiful goal. And, you know, that's sometimes things go your way, sometimes they don't, but that's the game.
That's right.
That's the game.
As they say, that goal was just like they drew it up on the training ground, from Canardo Forbes, an outswinger, to the far post, and Felix just banged it in with his head, and no chance for the keeper, and that was the difference in the match.
You know, to tell the truth, they beat a very good team. You know, the Fury were a good team that they beat.
Former it wasn't NASL just
yeah,
team.
It was not it just an ordinary team. It was a very good team.
And they're up, but they've been up and down this year. The Rhinos will play them two more times. They play them up in Ottawa in a couple of weeks, like 3 weeks, and then they're back here later in September. But I think they're trying to adjust to the USL a little bit more physical style of play than the North American soccer.
You remember Lance Rosenbaum, right?
Yes, he was the captain.
He was the captain. He played terrific on midfield. So. A lot of good things. I mean, just you know, it was a very good game. It was reminds me of the you know, of the games that we used to play before, where the people really got involved. Okay, they what makes the difference between watching a game live and watching a game on television.
That's right.
Okay, because you get caught up with the frenzy of the people. You get caught up with the actual play you can watch. So for all those naysayers that they think that, I'll stay home and watch Serie A or watching the soccer, you need to get to the field and be enthusiastic as the people were at the last game, because that's what soccer's all about, and that's why things work.
Right.
And a lot of thanks to that working, because they did a great job in promoting.
And this is your last chance to see the Rhinos for a while. After this game, the next home game is going to be after the 4th of July, on July the 8th. So be sure to come out this Friday night, 7:05. Leave work early. Make sure you get there. It's going to be a great night. Again, a lot of the tickets, part of the ticket purchase will be going to charities. There's special tickets you can buy at rhinosoccer.com or call 454-KICK. Still waiting on Will Bonahaney to join us on the show tonight. The Lancers are in action on Friday against FC Buffalo. Big, big match. They want to stay in playoff contention. They're in second place right now in the division. They played to a 0-0 tie against the Dayton Dynamo, who's the top team in the division, on the road. So they picked up a valuable point, Joe. But every game is a playoff game, pretty much, with such a short season for the Lancers.
That's exactly. I mean, you know, let's just not forget that the team, the Lancer, you know, the Lancer men's team and the Lancer women team was put together in a short period of time.
Right.
I'm sure they're going to be better next year. I'm sure that, you know, the coaches are doing the best job they can do right now. And, you know, they're playing against a team that's been established. So for the naysayer, just to remember that the teams were put together in a matter of 2-3 weeks. And they are pretty well competitive, especially the men's. The women are having a little hard time, but, you know, they'll get better as time comes.
Okay, well, we're going to take our first break here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. We're going to come back with Mr. Zero, Dick Howard. We'll talk about all these radical rule changes that are being proposed by a group of the FIFA or soccer officials, plus the latest on Cristiano Ronaldo. And is he going to be going back to Real Madrid? It doesn't look like it. Maybe the biggest bidding war in the history of the sport. We'll talk to Dick next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
He's going to China for more money.
Notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Topnotchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Are you looking for a new dentist for your family? Dr. David Olivo has been caring for Rochester's dental needs for over 15 years and would welcome the opportunity to serve you. To make an appointment, call 328-3382. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore!
Are you looking to update the kitchen, bath, or flooring in your home, but don't know where to begin? Whether it's cabinetry, carpeting, hardwood flooring, tile, or kitchen and bathroom remodeling, Claridge Design Center in Chi-Lai Fall Plaza is the place to start. Locally owned with over 25 years in business, Claridge Custom Designs and Builds quality remodeling projects throughout Rochester and Monroe County. At Claridge, the visions and ideas you have for your home are developed with the experienced Claridge designers to make your dream project a reality, and the quality of service you receive at Claridge is second to none. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call Claridge at 889-5800 or visit their website to meet the Claridge team. See examples of their finished work at ClaridgeDesignCenter.com.
Looking to save money on your weekly grocery bill? Visit Olindo's Cash and Carry at 1510 Lyle Avenue in Rochester. Olindo's provides Italian and Spanish items, imported and domestic cheeses, deli meats, and homegrown produce with a perfect blend of quality, selection, value, and personal service. Olindo's wholesale prices are the best around, and there's no membership fee. Call Olindo's at 647-1985 or visit them on the web at olindofoodservice.com.
The Rochester Rhinos look to extend their 13-match home unbeaten streak this Friday night at Capelli Sports Stadium, taking on Orlando City B, featuring MCC standout Haji Berry. Kickoff is at 7.05 p.m. It's Rhinos Care Night. Interact with local charities to learn how you can give back to the community. Reserve your tickets for just $15 by calling 454-KICK or visiting rhinosoccer.com. $5 of each ticket goes to the Rhinos Care Program to send underprivileged kids to Rhinos matches this season. Come and support your Rhinos as they look to regain the USL Championship. Get your Rhinos tickets today!
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Now, on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, it's time for our international report with one of North America's top soccer journalists, a member of the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame, and a 2013 inductee into the Rochester Lancers Hall of Fame, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard.
And our international report with Dick Howard, brought to you by our title sponsor, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, 2005 Lyle Avenue in Gates, just off the 390 Expressway. You can go to the interactive website at davidolivodmd.com or call the office at 328-3382 to make an appointment for a consultation, get your teeth cleaned, or if you want to speak to the dentist about any oral hygiene or health issues that you're having. Joe and I both go to Dr. Olivo. I've been going to the practice since I was a kid, and I can't give any higher recommendation for a dentist in Rochester. He's the best, and his whole staff does a great job. And we encourage you, if you're looking for a new dentist, definitely give Dr. Olivo's office a call, 328-3382. Good evening, Dick. How are you doing tonight?
Good, Andrew. Just enjoyed a good game, Germany-Australia. I hope you saw it.
No, I had to work, unfortunately. But
unfortunately,
it's better than the alternative.
Maybe Joe was able to get it.
But Germany sent a pretty much a reserve team to the Confederations Cup. A lot of the big name stars are not there, but they prevailed over Australia 3-2 in an excellently played match.
Yeah, it was a relatively inexperienced German team, and certainly a young team. Augurs well for the future. But to full credit to the Socceroos, they got back into the game, made it close. It was an exciting finish with Germany just edging them out, as you mentioned, 3-2, but it's good. And good to see a CONCACAF crew in action, Mark Geiger in the middle, and Canada's Joe Fletcher was one of the assistant referees.
How about that? That's fantastic. I didn't know that, so it's good to see some, besides Mexico, a CONCACAF representation at this tournament. The tournament will continue on Wednesday with Russia, the host, against Portugal at 11 o'clock on Wednesday at Fox Sports 1, followed by the Tricolores of Mexico taking on the All-Whites of New Zealand at 2 p.m., and then Thursday will be the second set of matches in the other group, Cameroon against Australia, and probably the biggest matchup of the tournament, Germany against Chile, the world champs against the champions of South America. So it should be a great match.
Could well be the game to watch over the next couple of days. If you're going to get sick and not go out to work, that's the one to probably be sick for, because Chile looked good in the game against Cameroon, a little bit of controversy, but she'll be talking about it, I'm sure. But I really enjoyed the Portugal-Mexico game, and full credit to Mexico, the Trico, with a late equalizer against Cristiano Ronaldo and the boys.
And Joe and I were talking about CR7, and it's certainly besides the topic of the day, which we'll get to in a second, of these radical rule changes they're proposing, certainly the biggest news is Cristiano Ronaldo and his situation with Real Madrid, and the fact that the Spanish government is after him for taxes, just much similar to what happened with Lionel Messi. And Cristiano is not happy about it. He's saying, you know what, I'm thinking about leaving, and I think that would be a disaster for Spanish football if the best player in the world decides to pack up shop. But
it's quite interesting, Andrew. You read all the gossip columns in the different newspapers, and he said, oh, I'd love to go to Manchester United again, you know. And then another paper says that Jose Mourinho feels that he's a player in decline, so he doesn't want him. Zidane wants him, and he wants to say to go to Manchester. Manchester are willing to offer £183 million, and David De Gea, Cristiano Ronaldo, and Alvaro Morata. Jeez, it's incredible. And if De Gea goes to Real Madrid, Gianluigi Donnarumma, or Dollarumma as they call him now, is going to go to Manchester United. So it's great reading the papers, because each paper has got its own interpretation of the matter, and you know that the agents are behind feeding all this kind of information to the newspapers.
Joe, your favorite paper, Gazzetto dello Sport, had a rumor
pertaining to Donnarumma. He's an 18-year-old guy. Reminds me so much of an American player that did. You know, he was the future of soccer, and then they destroyed him. I can't think of his name right now. But you being a goalkeeper, your advice to Donnarumma, what would it be? 18, considering his young age.
Well, I think, you know, he's had an exceptional season. He's not perfect. You know, he's not at the level, what I would call international level of a Gianluigi Buffon, but he's certainly showed a lot of potential. Obviously, his agent is looking to get the money for him of the contract, and he seems to have fallen out with the hierarchy in AC Milan, but it's early days, and he's got a long way to go when you look at goalkeepers are playing when they're 40 years of age. And would it be good for him to move to Manchester United and play in English football? Yeah, it would be a little bit different to playing in El Calcio, wouldn't it?
Yep.
So I would caution him in making any drastic moves at this time. He needs the stability of a club and coaching and go from there. But they say the money is the factor these days, and it's not often for the right reason.
A lot of money on the table for a lot
you
of
know,
players.
A lot of people, I'm just afraid that the desire to make a lot of money is just going to make him very unpopular. I think that he needs to be a little bit more
it's
mature.
Tough, playing in the Premiership in England, the quality of play, the action in and around the penalty area, he's going to have to start dealing with crosses a lot more. It's a different type of game to playing in Italy, and whether he would adjust, who knows, but it would be quite the change. And we've seen that with Joe Hart, who went the reverse direction. He went from Manchester City to Torino. And found it difficult, playing in Italian football with the type of attacks he was facing in games.
What would you tell him to do? What would be your advice?
With Donnarumma?
Yeah.
I would caution him against him making a move this early in his career. He needs to have two or three years, in El Calcio and proving his consistency before he makes any move. But
I understand.
He said that. Is it money that's determining he wants to leave? Is he not getting enough money? I have no idea. Only the executives of AC Milan know that.
Well, he's got to be in a team where he's going to play.
Exactly.
He needs to play. He needs to play every game. Now there is a rumor that Juventus is also interested in him. And by the way, Juventus is positioned themselves to find a replacement for Gigi Buffon. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it would be a good thing for Donnarumma to go to Juventus because, like I said, game time is the best thing for a goalkeeper. And sitting on the bench, surely you don't develop nothing. Being a goalie...
He doesn't want to be on the bench. He's got to be playing regularly. Yeah,
exactly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the IFAB, the International Football Association Board, who I've never heard of before this all happened.
Yeah, they have outlined a series of
radical proposed
United Kingdom
changes.
And four from FIFA.
Unbelievable. So here's the big one, the first one off the top, that they want to change the length of the game from 90 minutes to 60 minutes and stop the clock every time the ball goes out of play, much like every other
hockey,
basketball, soccer, or football.
Excellent initiative. And it's one that we brought up when I was a member of the Technical and Development Committee of FIFA. We had quite a long discussion with regards to this, because the bottom line, guys, is that the actual playing time in games is quite low. It was 55 minutes and 14 seconds in Brazil in 2014, where the ball was actually in play. So I think they're wanting to increase the playing time, and that's the way it should be done. My suggestion when I was a member of the committee was for 4 15-minute periods rather than 2 30s, but it's the same thing of asking right. for a 60-minute and stop the playing time when the ball goes out of play or if there's any incidents in the game, and linking the referees' watch with the official timekeeper or the clock in the stadium.
Right. That's an important point because back in the day, there was no technology that would allow such a linking between the stadium clock that everybody's watching and what the referee has on his watch. It was basically a regular clock. So that technology, if it's available, would be a great benefit to everybody concerned. Now, here's
it happens
in
all North American sports, doesn't it? You've got, whether it's a hockey game, whether it's a basketball, football, you name it.
Exactly. But here's the thing. I would be with this corollary that they're also proposing, I would seriously consider this. They want to do what they do in rugby, which is the game, a half or full time cannot end until the ball goes out of play. And that's going to stop things from the famous moment involved in the Rochester Lancers in 1976, where Gene Strenisser scored a goal with 1 second left in the game that Charlie Schiano and Don Popovich still to this day say wasn't a goal. It was scored after the final whistle. But that would eliminate such controversy because the game couldn't end until the ball went out of play or a goal was scored.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that it should be allowed to continue. I was watching actually a rugby game of the weekend, South Africa and France, and I was very impressed with they have video and technology. You know, they go to the TV screens, and you saw that being used to perfection. And the game itself, which lasts for 80 minutes, went into, I think, 81 minutes, over 81 minutes, because of the fact the ball was still in play.
Exactly. So this way there's no controversy about the last second goal.
The question is this, that they need to measure how much the ball is in play, and they should count toward the 60 minutes or 90 minutes. So I'm completely in favor, because it would get away from all this faking.
Well, there's time waiting, you know, taking the ball to the corner flag, you know, the goalkeeper delaying the game. The goalkeeper is supposed to have 6 seconds. Yeah. My God, I've counted some games this season. It's been 15 seconds before the goalkeeper's released the ball. Yeah. That's got to be clamped down on. But you're quite right, Joe, with regards to time wasting, and it's frustrating for fans.
Yeah, and that's right. And that's one of the things that was also mentioned, that they want to make that more strict. But here's probably the most radical match play difference. They want to change the rules for dead ball situations where a player can actually dribble and not pass or shoot.
So I have a question mark against that. I'm not in with on a free kick, a corner kick, or a goal kick, a self pass. I can't really see that. To my mind, I think it's something that has to be. So a little bit differently.
Well, Mike Lewis, we're going to talk to him about it. So remind him of, the 30-yard rules, that the free kick, the way we used to in the North American Soccer League.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So
the offside kick.
One other one, Dick, that actually isn't mentioned in this article, I remember reading about it, is they want to change the rules so only the captain of the team can talk to the referee. As you know, when we have controversial calls and the entire team crowds the referee, this would stop that.
I'm all in favor of that.
That's the way it used to be. Same thing again. We can learn a lot from the game of rugby, because that's exactly the situation in rugby. And I think back, and it's a couple of days ago, with the Chile-Cameroon game, and the video assistant referee, was called into being, and Arturo Vidal, who's quite a feisty character at the best of times, went absolutely ballistic, and he was pointing to the clock in the stadium, which was showing the replay, and saying that the player was onside, he wasn't offside. The thing with the VARs is they're using all kinds of camera angles. With that rugby game, they had five or six different angles to see whether the ball was over for a try or not. And this is not something that the fans see. So I would be up against any replay of the controversial incident on the screen in the stadium. Can you imagine the controversy that went on consistently? But Vidal, it was absolutely ballistic. He should have been carded, to my mind.
Absolutely. There's one other one, Dick, that's mentioned here. On a penalty kick, they want to change the penalty kick to be more like a penalty shot in hockey, where there's no rebound or play after the shot, so the ball will be dead if the kick was missed or saved.
I'm in favor of that.
Definitely in favor of that as a goalkeeper, because
of course,
save the first one and the rebound has gone in. But I think they're just concerned with the encroachment of players, and it's nice and clean, The ball is a goal or it's no goal. There's no second or follow-up play for the rebound.
The other thing that I don't know whether it's listed or not, it's just all this encroachment that the players do in every, in a free kick and that they put the arm around the other player. My God, it's just like it's a wrestling match.
World Wrestling Federation, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, the good thing is
it takes a lot of courage for a referee to call those, but you're quite right, especially in a lot of Premiership games. We see a lot of physical confrontation and blocking the goalkeeper, all manner of things happening.
Well, the good thing is they have the new magic spray that they spray the line on the field. That really does help on players coming in too close on free kicks. So that's a good thing. So, hey, technology is a good thing sometimes. We'll see if any of these get discussed and put into play, but it's a very interesting discussion. But, Dick, thanks so much for being with us, as always.
And as you say, that we've okayed some, we've not okayed others.
It'll be
so far we agreed, and the three of us have agreed on everything and disagreed on
that. That's maybe the biggest surprise of all. We never agree on everything. But I think we're all in except for the dribbling on free kicks. Yeah. Dick doesn't
anyway,
like
guys,
that.
I don't did
like
you the, hear the story about Nicola, the manager of Crotone?
No.
When the team was looking as though they're going to be relegated from Serie A, he told the players, he said, if we escape relegation, I will cycle from Crotone to my village or town of Vigone, which is near to Turin.
Yeah.
They stayed up, magnificent performance, great results in the closing games of the season, and he's just finished a 1,300-kilometer bike ride from Crotone in the south of Italy to... his hometown near to Turin.
Kudos to him.
And I'm sure he
just incredible.
I remember reading that.
Sad note because his 14-year-old son apparently was killed. He was cycling and he was killed in a traffic accident. But he said, no, I made that promise to the players that if they escape relegation, I will ride to Turin. And he did it.
How about that? That's fantastic.
Thank you, Dick, for bringing that up.
Absolutely. And Dick, as always,
great
thanks
story.
For...
Great story. And there's a photograph of him arriving in Turin at the end of his bike ride. Great to see. Great
put
to
his
hear.
Hands up just like
well,
the Tour de Crotone. France.
Forza Crotone.
Forza Crotone.
Dick, thanks so much for being with us, as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Always a pleasure, guys. Take care. Ciao, Joe.
Ciao.
Bye. Dick Howard here on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass. You can hear all the interesting discussion of international soccer here on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass every Monday with Dick Howard. And we're very, very fortunate to have him with us, as we do Michael Lewis, which we'll hear in a little while for the U.S. Soccer Report. But coming up next, it's Ryan Felix, the game-winning goal scorer in Saturday's Rhinos win over Ottawa. We'll have Ryan on next on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at socceristhekickinthegrass.com.
Your local sports leader. You're listening to AM 1040 WYSL Avon Rochester, FM 92.1, W221CL Rochester, and WYSL1040.com.
Your family is growing, and it's time for a new home. Why buy a used house with someone else's style when you can afford a new Faber home, built to suit your taste and your needs? Start fresh, build new with Faber. Faber Homes can customize your home to meet your wishes and dreams. Faber Homes is now building in 6 locations. Visit the Faber Homes website at faberhomes.com and find the plan of your dreams or a quick deliver home. Give Faber Homes a call today at 247-4800 or visit faberhomes.com for our current incentives. Faber Homes, great price.
St. Padre Pio Chapel, located at 141 Frank Domino Way in Gates, is a great place to visit for thought and reflection. The chapel is open daily from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and you can have a tour of the chapel on request. To arrange for a tour, please call Pia Pelosi at 621-6703.
Caring for your teeth is a key factor in promoting good health. Joe and Andrew highly recommend Dr. David Olivo and his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue for all your dental needs. Dr. Olivo and his experienced staff provide a wide array of dental services and procedures in a comfortable and caring atmosphere. New patients are always welcome. Visit Dr. Olivo's interactive website at davidolivodmd.com or call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Doug Miller Family Sports Park is proud to be a sponsor of Soccer's A Kick in the Grass. Doug Miller Family Sports Park is home to Doug Miller Soccer, Rochester Golf Academy, Glacier Ridge Snow Tubing, and Salvatore's. Check us out at DougMillerFamilySportsPark.com.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at Salvatore's.com and our hotline, 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's!
The Rochester Rhinos look to extend their 13-match home unbeaten streak this Friday night at Capelli Sports Stadium, taking on Orlando City B, featuring MCC standout Haji Berry. Kickoff is at 7.05 p.m. It's Rhinos Care Night. Interact with local charities to learn how you can give back to the community. Reserve your tickets for just $15 by calling 454-KICK or visiting rhinosoccer.com. $5 of each ticket goes to the Rhinos Care Program to send underprivileged kids to Rhinos matches this season. Come and support your Rhinos as they look to regain the USL Championship. Get your Rhinos tickets today!
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Welcome from back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. We haven't been half an hour on the show. Now it's another half hour to go. Andrew Battisti, Joe Ricard, Sirianni. Yes, it's one of those days. It always is on Mondays. So we're very happy to be with you. We're also happy to have our special guest on the show tonight. He scored the game-winning goal for the Rochester Rhinos. His first goal as a Rhino on Saturday as the Rhinos knocked off Ottawa 1-0. Joined by Rhino defender Ryan Felix, and Ryan's appearance brought to you by the Rhinos. The Rhinos are in action this Friday night at 7.05, taking on Orlando City B at Capelli Sports Stadium. It's Rhinos Cares Night. Some of the proceeds from tickets go to charity. Call 454-KICK or go to rhinosoccer.com for more information and get your tickets. It's a very important match as the Rhinos look to keep, say, unbeaten at home this year. Ryan, thanks for being with us, and congratulations on a big, big goal scored on Saturday.
Thanks for having me. It was definitely a big win for us, and I was really excited to get the goal and really excited to get another shutout and get another win.
So as a defender, you score a goal, and it's a game-winning goal. That's something that you don't see very much in this sport. I mean, you mentioned the clean sheet and the goal. Which one meant more to you, or are they both equally important?
I think they're both equally important. I mean, you know, everyone's going to get goals on our team. Everyone's pitching in. I mean, you've seen that, you know, with the last several games that we've played. And, you know, and Bob even told me a few weeks ago, you know, you're going to get a goal. Other guys are going to get goals. To me, just getting the win is really the most important thing. And obviously, you know, I love getting clean sheets as a center back. So, I would say they're equally important.
Ryan, Joe Sirianni here. Just let me compliment you, first of all, on the game and beautiful goal that you scored. It certainly came at the right time and the right play. And, it was great that we went 1-0 in the first half. In the second half, though, the coach tried to protect the game. So he switched to 5-4-1. I guess it was right 5-4, we for some reason lost midfield, and you guys on defense had a lot of more work to do, and like I told Andrew, we beat a very good team because the Fury was a very good team. They never stopped playing. They hustle. They did a lot of good things. How did you see the change, you know, from the first half to the second half? Because the first half, we controlled the midfield.
I think there was a few things that kind of influenced that. I mean, Ottawa during the game started with a back four. And then after we scored, maybe 5 to 10 minutes after, they switched to a back three and went into a 3-4-3. And then at that point, we kind of changed as well. So I think, you know, we've used the 5-4-1 recently in several games, and I think, you know, we're still kind of trying to figure out how we can get more possession out of it. And in the second half, Yeah, Ottawa did have more of the ball than they did in the first half. I think also, too, part of it was just, we've had so many games. I think, we had six games in 3 weeks, and so I think there was a lot of tired bodies out there, and coach just wanted to put us in the formation that he thought would best help us defend and not give up anything away cheaply.
Well, it certainly worked, and my compliment. Go ahead.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. Well, Ryan, I want to ask you, you're a native of Los Angeles. You went to school at Loyola Marymount, another school in Los Angeles, played for Orange County last year. Now you're playing here in Rochester on the East Coast. That must have been a big change for you personally, for being a West Coaster coming out here to Rochester.
Yeah, it definitely was. A lot of people ask me if I had ever even seen snow before, but I've been around plenty of snow and everything. But yeah, it's definitely a big change, but it's a very welcome change for me. I wasn't really playing as consistently as I wanted to in Orange County, and my agent and I talked a lot about options and where I could come play, and he's had players play for the Rhinos in the past, so he knows Bob pretty well, and I think it's just been a great fit for me so far. I feel like I've thrived here under Bob's direction, and I feel like I'm learning more and more and more as the season goes on and improving.
One of the things I want to ask you is that a long time ago when the Rhinos played in the A-League, I always happened to take a trip out to Vancouver on vacation. I saw Vancouver 86ers, they were known back then, against the San Diego Flash. And one of the things I noticed is the West Coast style was much different than what I was used to watching the Rhinos. It was much more like Major League Soccer almost, where it was a lot of passing and a lot of technical play, but the East Coast teams were much more physical. Have you noticed that? Coming to the Rhinos, that's similar. Playing in the East is a much more physical game than the West.
Yeah, in some ways, yeah, definitely. I think obviously there's a lot of Latin influence on the West Coast, and I grew up playing California all my life, so I know all about that. But I think a lot of times in California, there's a little bit more emphasis on technical ability and keeping it. And I mean, I've played in the off-season, just in some leagues with my friends where there's really, really good players that aren't professional that are technically as good, as some guys even in the USL. And, but the big thing is just the difference is really just the mentality and the fitness, I think, is really where
the East Coast tends to do well in the play, comes playoff time. The Rhinos and New York City, or New York Red Bulls, too, won the last two championships, so... I guess I'm partially East. I'm a native Rochesterian, so I like the style of play that the Rhinos show. And this Friday, certainly another big, big match for the team. Orlando City B, team you guys tied 2 weeks ago. Could have certainly easily gotten 3 points if it wasn't for Mr. Josh Saunders, who was down on an assignment to Orlando City B, an MLS keeper who I think was the man of the match. He saved a number of Rhinos' chances. So what do you expect to see from Orlando this time around?
Well, I mean, the one thing that we do know is, teams don't really like coming to Rochester, and it's difficult for other teams to get results here, and obviously our record at home has shown that this season. When we played down there, they had more of the ball. I think we'll have more of the ball at home. I think maybe they'll kind of sit a little bit more and, see if we're the ones who are trying to attack and be expansive and maybe them try to hit us on the counter. But, I mean, you never know. Obviously, too, it's different with Orlando City B because we don't know what MLS guys they might send down or if they do send them down or send me to travel. But, I mean, it's definitely going to be a battle. Every game in this league is a battle, and every team is capable of winning games. And I think we do benefit from having played against them recently. And I think we're all really excited because we do feel like that was a game that we could have won and we had a lot of opportunities.
This Friday night, the Rhinos against Orlando City B. Kickoff is at 7:05. Get there early, get some dinner from some of the great food vendors, drink vendors, and again, it's Rhinos Cares Night. So part of your ticket, you go through rhinosoccer.com or call the office 454-KICK. Part of your ticket will go to charity, and there'll be charities there which you can find out more about and make donations to. So it's an important night not just for soccer but for the Rochester community. And Ryan, we look forward to seeing you on Friday, and good luck to you and the team.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ryan. It's Ryan Felix from the Rochester Rhinos, who wears the number 3 shirt for the Rochester Rhinos, and certainly he's going to be one of the big guys at 6'4". We're trying to stop the attack of Orlando City B as they come into town looking for to try to break the Rhinos' 13-match home unbeaten streak this Friday night. Let's come back to Soccer is the Kick in the Grass in a moment. We invite you to listen in and hear from Michael Lewis. And we'll talk U.S. soccer. We'll talk New York City FC and the Red Bulls playing this weekend. And also we'll get some more comments from Michael about the proposed rule changes for soccer, these big changes to the sport we talked about earlier with Dick Carlos. We'll see what Michael Lewis thinks about them next on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at socceristhekickinthegrass.com. We get alive.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Whether you just found it or you've lived there for years, you'll never forget that feeling. It was something that made you realize this house would become your home. And since there's no place like it, it deserves protection just as special. A local Allstate agent can help you customize an Allstate house and home insurance policy and point out lots of ways to save. Like if you have a newer roof, it could help lower your rate.
Call East Rochester Allstate agent Vincenzo Scolo at 585-381-3530 today.
The Rochester Rhinos look to extend their 13-match home unbeaten streak this Friday night at Capelli Sports Stadium, taking on Orlando City B, featuring MCC standout Haji Berry. Kickoff is at 7.05 p.m. It's Rhinos Care Night. Interact with local charities to learn how you can give back to the community. Reserve your tickets for just $15 by calling 454-KICK or visiting rhinosoccer.com. $5 of each ticket goes to the Rhinos Care Program to send underprivileged kids to Rhinos matches this season. Come and support your Rhinos as they look to regain the USL Championship. Get your Rhinos tickets today!
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. It's the U.S. Soccer Report with the editor of FrontRowSoccer.com, former Rochester Lancers reporter and a 2012 inductee into the Lancers Wall of Fame, Michael Lewis.
I want to be a part of it. New York, New York.
Soccer Report with Michael Lewis, brought to you by Orlando's Food Service, 1510 Lyle Avenue in Rochester, just down the street from Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry. Number to call is 647-1985 or go to OrlandoFoodService.com. If you're looking to get things for your graduation parties or summer get-togethers, go to Orlando's, get all your food there. They give the best prices and the best customer service in Rochester. And Michael, good evening, and I hope you brought your umbrella on Saturday for that match at Yankee Stadium. What a crazy match that was.
Well, I did bring an umbrella. Fortunately, I did not have to use it. Even though the press box is open at Yankee Stadium, we were protected by the roof, and fortunately the rain wasn't going sideways, at least not in our direction. But, yes, it was quite a foggy, rainy, wet day there. Sometimes you think it game sometimes borderline on a farce, because this was an adventure for all players keeping their balance. Saying that, I've seen a lot worse conditions. The first MLS Cup in 1996 was played in a nor'easter, and that was in 42 degrees with a wind blowing, and no thank you. At that time, I was in an enclosed press box, and I even admitted at that time, if I was a fan, I don't know if I would have gone to the game. But going back to this past game, borderline, whether or not they should, you know, I know there's been a little question whether or not they should have played. I think if it got a little more worse, maybe it would have been right to maybe just say, okay, let's give it a few minutes. Let's see if the rain will abate. As it turned out, it stopped essentially in the 75th, 77th minute, and it didn't rain too much the rest of the way. And as good as the drainage system is at Yankee Stadium, you have to remember, when there is a rain delay, they're letting the water drain. At a soccer game, it's just play on. So made for some unusual conditions and situations, no doubt.
Certainly, you know, as long that Andrew and I were discussing that before, and as long that the ball bounces, the referee let the play go. Was the ball bouncing?
Yes, it was. There were a couple of times when it didn't necessarily get to its intended target, whether it was a teammate or somewhere on the other side of the field, just because the water had other thoughts. But that was the danger of maybe doing a back pass to the goalkeeper. All of a sudden, the ball just stops dead, and the other team runs onto it and gets an easy chance on goal. But fortunately, it did not happen more than a few times that it made it a dangerous playing situation that could decide the match. Fortunately for the home team, Davi Villa, off a very nice cross from Jack Harrison. He got open, and I think it was the fault of the Seattle defense allowing him to get open on the left side of the goal, and he put away the goal for his first of his MLS career. And if he plays long enough, I think he'll hit 100. He's that classy of a player.
And it was certainly David Villa was the star for the New York City FC side, and it was Bradley White Phillips for the Red Bulls, 2-0 over Philly, scored both goals late in the match, and that sets up the big match on Saturday, Red Bull Arena, NYCFC against the Red Bulls. These teams just played last week in the U.S. Open Cup, and Red Bulls came out 1-0 ahead of the game, so they knocked out New York City FC. What are you thinking about this Saturday's match?
I just wanted to, I'll get to that in a minute. It's funny what you mentioned about Bradley Wright Phillips. Immediately afterwards, he said, I played terrible. I played a bad game. He just felt he got lucky on those two plays. Well, that's what a striker is all about. Anyway, let's go ahead to Saturday's match. Red Bulls, if you include the Open Cup, they have a 6-1 advantage, which is stunning considering NYCFC has become more than a respectable side over the past year. You just wonder, after a while, does this become a psychological block for NYCFC against the Red Bulls? I'm not saying they can't beat them, but the likelihood of them beating them at Red Bull Arena is not going to be, the odds are not necessarily in their favor. I believe they're 0-5 there, or the Red Bulls are 5-0 there. On the flip side, the Red Bulls have to watch out about being overconfident. They can't live in the past. They can't talk about the 7-0 game, which they pulled off at Yankee Stadium last year. And they can't say, hey, look at how we've done, because NYCFC has a better record than them this year. They're better. They've had a better season than the Red Bulls this year. And we'll see how humble the Red Bulls are in remembering that. Saying all that, I look forward, out of all the MLS games, out of all the soccer games that are played in the regular season, I look forward to the Hudson River Derby, because both teams for the most part, if you take away that 7-0 game, should be able to leave it out on the field. And there seems to be always something happening off the field. Assuming Jesse Marsh returns from Poland, from the UEFA coaching license course he's taken, what will the reception between him and Patrick Vieira be? Because Vieira had some really tough things to say about him after last year's game at Red Bull Arena, which was a 4-1 win for the hosts. So there are a lot of off-the-field stories, too, we're going to be looking at entering the match.
It'll be a lot of fun, and you can watch the match. It's going to be nationally televised on Fox, so the whole country is going to see this one. It's one of the best derbies in the country and maybe even in the world. You're two of the biggest stars of the game and biggest teams, and we'll see how it goes. But, Jordan, we were talking about the rule changes. Let's give the last few minutes to that. So, Joe, what's the one you want to bring up to Michael?
Well, the penalty kick is the one that I want to bring up to you. What do you think about the penalty kick?
You're talking about one, two, you know, have the first team shoot and then have the second team shoot twice?
We didn't talk about that one.
No, we didn't talk about that one.
But let's talk about that one first. We didn't mention it. Then we'll go back to the other one where we're changing the penalty so it's like a penalty shot in hockey with no rebound or anything like that. But you mentioned the ABBA, the ABBA. No, we're not going to play any ABBA music. But having the first team take a penalty, then the next team takes two penalties, and it goes two penalties each from then on.
We didn't discuss that one.
Yeah, that's another one.
Oh, I'm sorry for getting ahead of ourselves here.
Okay.
You know, I guess as I've grown older in this game, although I'd like to see the offside rule either vacated or opened up even more so, I've become much more of a traditionalist. And to me, I think just penalties should go back and forth, back and forth. None of this higher modern math stuff. I know it's going to drive people crazy. If penalties are decided on a home field, I think the home team should get the decision on whether or not they should take the first shot or not. That should be part of home field advantage. If it's at a neutral venue, such as European Championship, Gold Cup, World Cup, you know, flip the coin. But I'd keep it that way.
Never thought about that.
So what about no rebound on a penalty kick?
I kind of like it. I kind of like that rebound on the penalty kick. I know what they want to do is stop encroachment, and that's a hassle and a half because so many players do get away with it, and when they're caught, they have to take it again. But I think that's an exciting part of the game. I think it's unique. And, yes, after the goalkeeper makes a great save or it goes off the woodwork, there's a good chance he or she is on the ground or in a bad situation to take care of the rebound if there is one. But I kind of like that myself because if you want to get technical, it's taking away from goal scoring in the game if they put in this new rule instead of adding to it. And you want to make the game more attractive or at least keep some things the way they are. Well, just my opinion.
Mike, all the changes that they're making are geared to make the game more fluent and more positive, you know, for the fans to watch. Is that the way you interpret it?
Well, I think that's what they're trying. But, you know, something I think they should there are so many fouls that don't get called that drives me crazy. And I know we're starting to run out of time here, but I remember years ago they used to give out yellow cards when the players would grab onto a shirt and impede a player. Now it's part of the game. Well, guess what? That's a foul, and now it's part of the game. I think they should I'd like to think that would open up the game a little more as well, too. Don't tug on my shirt type of thing, or tug on Superman's cape, as the old song goes. But, yes, they are trying to make it more opened up, but I like I said, I become more of a traditionalist on a lot of things, and I'd like to see them tweak some rules but not make too many radical ones. And if they're going to try something, try it out in the lower league somewhere and see what happens. I know they're talking about that 60-minute clock. They tried it in the USL, and didn't they try something like that in MLS? I think I got into trouble for a Facebook post I put up earlier. I could have sworn they did something like that in MLS, but maybe I'm confusing the leagues. But
we'll try something
in the lower leagues and have a good discussion about it.
Maybe for the USL, we'll see. Michael, thanks so much for being on, as always. We'll talk to you next week with your report on the New York City Hudson River Derby.
Looking forward to it. Thank you. Have a good one, gentlemen.
And we're going to hear this debate.
And thanks to Michael Lewis for being on the show, and Dick Howard as well. Also to Ryan Felix from the Rochester Rhinos, Blaise Bourgeois from the Rhinos helping out with that. Rhinos home Friday to Orlando City B, 705-454-KICK. Or go to rhinosoccer.com. Will Bonhaney will be on next week's show for the Rochester Lancers. Lancers home Friday against FC Buffalo at 7:30. Lady Lancers home Western New York Flash will be in town 1 p.m. on Saturday. 872-KICK or rochesterlancers.com. This has been Andrew Battisti, Joe Sirianni, and Bob D'Angelo in the control room at WYSL. Be with us next Monday at 6:30 for Soccer is the Kick in the Grass here on WYSL, 92.1 FM and 1040 AM, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Buona notte.
Good night, everyone.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Faber Homes, Claridge Design Center, Olindo's, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.